Hi everyone, this is Linda Cloak from the Business Network Show. So it's my first time on my own in the studio, and Terry is actually standing behind me making sure that I do everything right, which I totally got wrong to start with and got completely muddled up, but never mind. So my guests today are Nicola Withers of the Writer Studio and lovely Hazel Hall. And Hazel's got so many different roles, sometimes I'm not sure which one she's doing. Which one are you doing today, Hazel?
Probably HR.
HR today. Yep. Okay, so we're going to be talking about HR and copywriting today. And as any of my normal listeners know, I'm Linda from Synergy Networking Events. And Synergy provides businesses with a forum to promote their businesses. And the radio show is just one of those forums to help you promote your business. So I've actually looked at your LinkedIn profiles, ladies.
Well, yours should be great. You're a copywriter.
So I've looked at those, and they're both actually very good, to be honest with you. So I think that's brilliant. And I've put songs on there for you. So I've put on 9 to 5, and I've put on Happy. And the reason I put on Happy is as one of the songs is because I thought everyone's happy when they got good copy.
Yay! Good choice. I love that.
Okay, so let's start with you, Hazel. So you work with Metro Bank.
I do.
And yep. What actually got that started?
So that was Gets Ahead. Mm-hmm. As the virtual agency, one of the ladies was working for Metro Bank. They said, wouldn't it be great if we had a networking event that we could all use as a free event? And it started up probably about 2 years ago, mm-hmm. in Bracknell. And we've rolled it out to the other regional directors. So I'm now doing one in Maidstone and one in Tunbridge Wells. And started off with maybe, I don't know, 5-6 people. We've grown to 20-25 people. And Wow. It's just free, friendly, local networking over breakfast.
So how many directors has Get Ahead got?
It has got 9 regional directors.
Okay. Yeah. And they're basically working in those 25 Metro Bank?
Yeah, working all the Metro Banks, yeah. Bracknell, Leeds, Southampton, Ipswich, I think, all over the country, all where we've got regional directors, yeah.
That's fantastic. So you're talking about HR, but Get Ahead is Get Ahead VA.
Get Ahead is a virtual agency which encompasses HR as well. So my background's HR, so that's why I sort of lean towards HR, but I can provide any virtual assistance through the 80 online freelancers that we've got. So they can do anything from social media through to looking at people's outboxes, taking calls, finding leads for people, anything that people might need virtual help with, yeah. Oh. And it could be an hour a day, an hour a week.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So you've been doing this for 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. You've just 2 year anniversary. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what were you doing before then?
So before I was working for a long time in manufacturing engineering in HR. Before that I was IT, where I got my CIPT qualification up in London. Went to work locally when I had my son in Orpington, and we grew the company from 15, 20 people through to nearly 100 people.
Wow.
3 million up to 18 million. We had a management buyout, which I was lucky enough to be part of in 2015, and we've just changed the company around, really. And we manufactured spectroscopic accessories, which analyse liquids, gases and solids, and we designed and manufactured them for different products. It could be something like a Nurofen tablet. You could measure what's actually in that tablet. It's all very scientific, and I got to learn a bit about it and enjoyed it. And yeah, they did a lot of recruitment, did a lot of talking to staff about what they want, how they wanted to grow the company, which is how we were so successful really in growing it.
Because you're working with the staff rather than against them.
Working with staff and getting them to give in their inputs. Because obviously you've got people that know what they're doing, how they're building these products, and then empowering the staff to say, this is how I think we should run it. So we try to grow it from the bottom up, and rather than dictating, which is before when we had the management buyout, we had a management director that just said, you've got to do it this way. Mm. We wanted the staff to grow it in a way that they knew what they were doing. And we had team leaders, we appointed team leaders that could pass on their information, but that weren't going to say to people, no, you can't do it that way. Mm. So it was all about training, development, empowerment. And that's why we were really successful. And then the company got sold 4 years ago now. So, and it changed. I decided that it was time for me to leave. I've been there 18 years. So I worked in a charity for a couple of years locally in Wardhurst. And then saw the advert on LinkedIn for this regional director role and thought, yeah, I could do that. Mm. And it's quite challenging because I'm doing the virtual outsourcing. I'm also doing the HR bit as well. Mm. So, but I enjoy it. It's good.
Do you enjoy both bits of it, or what do you enjoy most about it?
I would say I still enjoy the HR side because I enjoy working with people. But doing the virtual outsourcing is good as well because you're trying to find solutions to people's problems. Mm. So you might come up to me and say, you know, I've got this problem. How can I deal with it? I might need someone, I might need 5 freelancers. Then it's trying to find the right people for you. And that's what it's all about, I think, the relationships with people. And that's what I do in HR anyway. So it's, you know, you can put somebody into a role that they're not going to get on with the person, the client. Mm. So sometimes we have to move people around, but it is all about finding the right person for the right role. You know, it's people buy from people, talk to people, and yeah, it's about that relationship, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say is the most difficult issue you've dealt with since you've been doing HR?
We've had a couple of, HR's a bit different, but the outsourcing, I've had a couple of quite demanding clients that want a lot for their money. And, you know, the VAs get paid anything between £25 and £45 an hour. Virtual experts get paid that. So sometimes they're not going to get everything they want with one person. Mm. And they can be quite demanding and they might say, oh, it's not working. So then you have to go back to the drawing board, find another person for them and, yeah, just make it work. Mm. With HR, I've had the usual disciplinaries, people to deal with that aren't happy at work, but then it's my bread and butter, which I enjoy doing, trying to find solutions to problems and people issues.
And do you find, I mean, obviously I'm a 70s chick, so, well, not obviously, hopefully, but, you know, there were a lot of authoritarian type bosses back then. I mean, I know things have changed now, but there still must be some of them around.
Yeah, there are still some old school bosses who don't want to be advised, shall we say, on what route to go ahead. You quite find that they're often the manager owners, especially in places like manufacturing. They don't want to change. They want to do it the way it was, you know, and it's trying to change the culture. It's quite difficult, I think. Mm. But if you can show them what you've done in the past, like what I've done when I was at my company, and how it worked, then hopefully they will come around to your way of thinking.
I mean, that's really put you in good stead then, hasn't it? Because that experience has helped you give them a practical...
Yes.
You know, your experience.
Yeah, yeah, from starting the company up. Well, not starting it up, but just changing things, really. When the leadership team went in and changed everything about it. So, it has put me in really good stead. Yeah.
Okay, that's brilliant. So tell me about how you get business from Metro Bank. I mean, you know, I've seen it. I've been at your events. They're absolutely brilliant. Are you promoting Get Ahead there?
I have my Get Ahead banner. So when I speak to people at the events, I say what we do, and we have got some work through Metro Bank. Mm. Probably not as much as the effort that I put in sometimes, but obviously it's only monthly, so it's not, you know, every week or anything. But I have got some work out of Metro Bank, and I think it's just all about the connections that you make. It's reinforcing those connections, because I might meet them at Synergy and then again at Metro Bank, and you're talking to the same people sometimes. Mm. So it's just having that connection. And you're not always talking about work, you know. You could be talking about football, the World Cup, or something topical like that, you know. And I think the more you talk to people about things sometimes outside of work as well, and you find a common denominator, you're going to have a better relationship with them.
Absolutely. I think that's what Synergy is all about, and I think that's definitely what Metro Bank is about as well, those events.
Yeah.
You go in and quite often people aren't talking about work.
No, that's right.
And I think that's the beauty of it. And even with Greg and Austin, they'll not be talking about work, but it's really, really working well. Okay, so tell me what the perfect type of person who's, you know, perfect sort of referral buddy for you.
I guess on the HR side, it's somebody that might need a whole package. They might, because I could do the whole outsourced HR bit, as in They might want a contract, they might want new handbook policies looking at. So that's that side of things. But I'm quite into the training development as well. So it could be coming in to assess people's appraisal system, or have they got a training development plan? What progression do they see for the people in the company? And, you know, they might only have 4 or 5 employees, but people working in a company often want to know where they're going. And they might not stay, so retention is really important. Mm. What are you doing for your staff? You know, where can they go? You know, they might not be anywhere at the moment, but and training isn't all about going on a training course and getting a qualification sometimes. It could be shadowing, it could be going out to other companies to see what they do and then bringing that back in-house. So I think having those plans and those building bricks in place are really important. You know, that's what I've done in the past in companies. And so it could be one person wanting to grow, having that plan of 3 employees in 12 months, 5 employees, and how they get there, sort of helping them to reach those goals.
So. And I do think training as well is so important from a confidence perspective. Mm. And when people feel more confident, then they're just more productive, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So
and, yeah, as I say, it doesn't always have to be a course. It could be, you know, going out to another company and shadowing somebody in a similar organisation. And there are quite a lot of people like the EEF, the Employers Engineering Federation. They used to do these Make UK days where you went out to different companies. We got a lot of ideas from other companies. And it's just plagiarising them. It's just, you know, picking up on things. And we went to one company where they had an employee scheme, a bright ideas scheme. And you know, it's something like £10 voucher or book voucher if you put the idea into place in your company. It's just little things that you could pick up on that you could use back in your organisation. Mm. So, yeah, I think you know, it's really important to have those plans in place, like appraisals. Mm. You know, people need feedback and they need to know how they're doing in the company, and you'd be surprised at how many companies don't have those appraisal schemes, or they have a scheme, they don't follow it through. They might say, oh, yeah, the appraisals, I don't know. Few months are out of date, it doesn't matter, but to that individual it really does matter, because it's a two-way feedback to you and your manager. You're feeding back to them as well as them feeding back to you.
That's really interesting, because I always thought HR was just going in and like dealing with a problem,
yeah,
not so much helping the company grow. So I've, you know, just with this conversation, I've got a whole new perspective of what you would provide.
Mm,
because
yeah.
For me, it's always been right, you know, you've got a staff member who's not happy, or you've got someone who's taken to an employer's tribunal. You know, I felt that HR was always that firefighting.
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
No.
It should be more proactive.
So I mean, how do you work it? Do you have someone on like a monthly retainer? Do you have different packages?
Yeah, I have a couple of companies on retainers that I can either be giving them advice on the end of the phone, I can go into the company if it's, you know, local enough. And yeah, I have different packages, like a basic package, a medium package, and then a more advanced package as well. So whatever people want, really, whatever they want to do. Or it could be an hour a week when people want it doing the firefighting. But I think really it's important for somebody to know the company and be part of the company. Mm. And they might not be big enough to have a HR person there. Quite often you find it could be the financial controller or the IT person that gets dumped, the HR
right
bit
into
as well, yeah. And they don't want to do it. You know, they why would they? Because they've got their own job to do. They're not going to be wondering what training, you know, Joe Bloggs is going to be doing next week, or a plan for that person. That's where, you know, outsourcing the HR can come in, because you can go into that company, sit down with them, and also having that external pair of eyes helps because you can maybe bring out ideas that they haven't thought about.
So how do you work out what sort of training a staff member would need? You know, do you go in and like interview
yeah,
staff?
You would go in and sit down. You would speak to, I mean, take manufacturing, for example. With an engineering, you would see that if they did need a qualification, what they wanted to do, it could be an apprentice. You could be putting an apprentice in there. You could doing something like mechanical engineering, CAD work, depending again on where they want to go. So you would actually go and be part of that organisation for a day, a week, for a couple of months, or whatever it takes, really, depending on how big the organisation was, to see what they needed.
So how far have you travelled to do this?
I cover for Get Ahead, Kent and Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
However, for the HR, I've done some HR near Birmingham. Obviously, my expenses have been covered as well. And I did go to Scotland once as well for a day trip.
Wow.
That was quite entertaining.
Did you drive?
No, I flew up to Scotland for the day. A fairly cheap flight, but someone did a referral for me, so I went to Scotland for the day. And then after that, it was on the phone with people. But I just wanted to go to see what they were doing. It's quite a small organisation, so... I enjoy getting my hands dirty, if you like, and going and seeing what people do.
Mm.
And then I can feel part of it as well, rather than just doing it all at an arm's length. I'd rather go in and be part of that organisation.
So you're part of quite a few organisations, because obviously you're dipping your toe in, then you're coming away when they've achieved something.
Absolutely. They might not need me all the time. That's why the outsourced HR works, because, you know, you are going and almost problem solving, but it's part of a long-term plan as well. And at some stage they will want full-time HR. Mm. You know, there's no doubt about it. If they grow to maybe 20 people, they might want someone there all the time, 20, 25 people.
Mm.
But in the meantime, I can be part of that organisational growth and advise what to do.
So if they did get to the stage where they said, right, you know, Hazel, we need someone full-time, would you then be a part of interviewing that person?
I have done that, yes. Yeah, right. Because I've got the knowledge as well, and I can see, hopefully, what person would fit into that organisation.
Mm.
You know, we all make mistakes interviewing. I've made enough in my time where, you know, we had a financial director and one of the companies I was at, and I actually said no. The rest of the leadership team said yes, and she turned out to be a complete nightmare.
Oh.
So I was vindicated in that in that respect. But, you know, we make mistakes interviewing. People can say what they want. They might have things written down on their CV, and you can't always find out the truth behind CVs. You know, if people sit in front of you, they might have fantastic references, but when it actually comes down to the work and going into the work and doing something, it's really difficult to judge.
Let's talk about CVs, because the thing is, CVs from when I was interviewing, so I managed a car rental company I ran, two branches I ran, and you know, I was interviewing all the time, and they used to put their age on there, and you know, there's so many things they put on there and they can't put on there now.
No.
So do some of your employers find that frustrating?
I think so. I don't think there's so much store had by CVs now, you know, because you can get around them so easily. I mean, Nicola probably knows as well, you know, you can put all these different words in there and beat the system, you know. So I think that, you know, interviewing is really difficult still. A lot to be said for me, for gut feel.
Mm.
You know, if you can look somebody in the eye and interview and give scenario-based interviewing, much better than having a CV in front of you, depending on the role, obviously.
Mm.
But, you know, I think you can get around things with a bit of paper a lot easier now, or a form you might have to fill in online, whereas there's nothing, you can't beat your gut feel and, you know, looking somebody and talking to them and asking them pertinent questions about the role or, you know, what they've done.
My Elle, when we were interviewing for We Do Social Media, she gave them, I think it was marshmallows and straws, and they had to build something.
Oh, yeah.
She wanted to see how their creative mind worked.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, I'm thinking, this is like so much out of my league, I wouldn't even think of doing this. But it was really effective, because you could see some of them really struggled to build this three-story thing that she'd said to build.
Mm.
And yet others, and it was really great because they're all in the room together.
Mm.
And you could see the ones that were sort of looking over to see what the other ones are doing, the other ones that are just totally focused on getting the job done themselves.
Yeah.
So it's amazing what you captured from doing that sort of thing. Do many companies do that sort of thing?
When I did graduate recruitment up in London for an IT company, yes, we did have graduate recruitment days. And you put people into teams, and you can also see who becomes the leader and who some people just sort of sit back and just let other people do the work or don't really want to get involved. So you are looking at what everyone is doing in the team. If it's individual, I mean, there's a lot of, some people set a lot of store by psychometric testing or DISC profiling as well.
Mm.
And they can be good, I think, depending on, again, what organisation you're in. Something like IT, that's quite good. The manufacturing, where you're just you're getting people at different levels, that's not so good. But, it does depend on what role, I think.
But you can, again, you don't have to answer the disc profiling. You don't have to answer the questions.
No, no.
You know, you could say something completely different to the type of person you are, yeah, couldn't you? And then yeah, you could get a different, you could just think, oh, yeah, they'll like this.
That's right.
Like
you, this can, and, you can manufacture it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So I like the idea of you saying, talking about scenarios. Mm. So what do you think is the best one that you've put to someone? Explain a scenario of what you would do if.
Yeah.
So what types of things would you give that for?
So go back to the manufacturing, which is quite often about efficiencies. Mm-hmm. So we would say to somebody, you know, you've got these tasks to do. How would you do those tasks? And there could be a way of doing it so you can take time off the tasks. There's something like, it sounds really stupid, but something like you've got to make a, I don't know, 5-course meal. Think about how you would do it. You know, then somebody might say, well, I'll go and put the kettle on first because that's going to take a time to boil, or I'm going to put the water on to do this first. You're thinking about planning and efficiencies at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then they might say, well, I'll use that water that I've got for the kettle for this, this, and this, and then, you know, I can put these things, set these things going whilst I'm doing something else, like chopping the vegetables or something like that. You know, just silly, mm-hmm. something silly like that. But it shows on how people's mind work.
Whether they can plan.
Whether they can plan. Mm-hmm. So that's really good for a planning role, obviously, but also people that are working, they could be doing different roles, different jobs, and have to multitask.
Mm-hmm.
So when we had people building products, you know, you have to do certain things at certain times, and you might have to be waiting for the glue to be held on that bit of product before you can start other products. So it's just, you know, trying to get them to think, or seeing if they can think in a systematic way, in a planned way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's amazing, isn't it? Would you ever think about employing anyone, Nicola, or would you, do you feel that your business is one that you would only want to be doing it yourself?
Yes, I'm a bit of a control freak. And I think with words, they're quite personal.
Mm.
And I think unless you work with somebody who really ticks along the same path, it's really difficult. I mean, lots of people do it. Lots of people employ people and you have to let go. But I think because I've been on my own for so long, it would be really hard to almost trust anybody with it. And I worry that if I've done it in the past, I have worked with people and I've ended up editing their own so it sounds like me, which sounds really vain, but you know, you have a style that you like and that you work with, and that's what you want, because at the end of the day it's my name on the business.
Yes.
So I want it to sound like it's come from me, so that's a no from me. Sorry.
Have you helped many small businesses? Because you've got on your LinkedIn that you help SMEs.
Yeah.
So, you know, apart from the the manufacturing one, what types of businesses have you helped to grow?
So when I was at the charity, we grew. We lost and we grew. We lost and we grew because it's quite difficult working in an animal charity.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working at charity, I was only there 3 days a week. So I was working with a college in Cornwall, and they gave funding to smaller companies. And it could be 2 people. It could be 10, 20 people. So I had a jeweller's there. I had somebody that made blankets, and she had a shop. She had 3 members of staff, and she wanted to know the next step to take. She didn't know who to employ, so we did a whole plan for her to get an operations manager in to free up her time so that she could then work on the business planning side of the business and recruit other people. So that was quite a small company. I had an advertising company that the lady, they were a couple that owned the business. They'd employed 2 sales guys to do advertising and things, but they didn't have a commission scheme in place. They couldn't work out how to reward their staff.
Ah.
So I helped them do the commission plan because I've been involved at my manufacturing company with the sales team. And marketing, yeah. So I sort of was involved with marketing as well. So I helped her really sort of work out where she could recruit and you know, put her money into that way. And then there was I can't remember the name, there's a sewage company, and they wanted some EDI training. So I actually went down to Cornwall.
What's EDI?
Sorry, Equality, Diversity and Inclusion.
Oh, right, OK.
And it was Surfers Against Sewage was the company. And they were really growing. And they wanted to employ an EDI manager, but they hadn't got that stage yet. So I went down to do some training with them and then helped them recruit the EDIs about 3 years ago person, because they were very much obviously into the ethos of getting things right with the sewage. And that was quite early on, really, in talking about EDI, because a lot of people still don't do it now. And I actually did a LinkedIn post about that this morning.
Oh, did you?
I did indeed. And then there was another company that wanted a trustee. They were a charity, and it was a, I can't remember what it was now, it was some sort of church organisation. And they wanted to recruit a trustee, and they didn't know how to go about it. It's sort of different ways of recruiting trustees.
Mm.
So I helped them with that. So, yeah, I've worked with probably about 10, 15 different small companies in Cornwall, because the college was giving them funding to do this. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to grow. Oh, and there was a restaurant as well that I worked with down there.
Wow.
But, yeah, that was interesting. I didn't hardly meet any of them apart from the sewage people. It was just all online because it was COVID as well. It was 2020 I was doing that.
So have you found since that period that you do more online than you would have done before?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It makes it easier. I prefer to do face-to-face. Mm. You know, I prefer to go in and speak to people because that's me. I'm a people person.
Mm.
But, you know, obviously you can't always do that. Mm. So, you know, you have to do things online occasionally.
Mm. And what you find in, because obviously we've all got age names, haven't we? Baby boomers. I can't remember.
Gen X and Gen Z.
Yeah. Is there a significant difference?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And do you think that difference is attitude? Or do you think it's just,
I think some of the generations get a bit of a bad press. I mean, my son's in his early 30s, and, you know, I think he's a hard-working person, and I guess it's the way you bring them up as well. But I think that some do get a bit of a bad press, and I think it also depends on, you know, the way they are as a person.
Mm.
So I don't know, really. It's a difficult one because there are so many different labels that people have, and I don't really like that in a way.
No.
Because you can't say that all Gen X do this or Gen Z do that or all baby boomers are like, you know, this. Mm. People, you know, we know probably have worked hard all their lives and it's just in their nature to do that, whereas some people aren't like that.
No.
So you're a different ethos anyway.
Yeah.
Nature, nurture, whatever you want to say it is, I think.
Mm.
Everyone's different.
So what would you do if an employer came to you and said, I'm looking for someone in their 20s? It must be really difficult.
You can't really do that now. You can't be ageist.
Oh, right,
when you're interviewing. So, you know, you have to... I had one person actually say to me, look, I want a woman and I want somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then he also said, oh, they've got to be based within a 20-mile radius of where the office is. Mm. And you can't say that either.
Oh, you can't say that either.
So, you know, you can say must be commutable or something like that. But... you know, you might have people applying, and you know, he did get people applying from all over the world.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one because you have to put, must be commutable to the office 3 days a week or whatever it was he wanted them. But he'd still have people applying from all over. But you can't be discriminatory. It's so difficult nowadays. Because if someone's in India saying, well, that's discrimination. So are you going to come to the office 3 days a week then? You know, but it's a very difficult one.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how, I mean, so in a way, the advert that someone puts out, you've got to help them with that as well?
Yes, definitely. I've been doing that, yeah.
Because that's a really important part, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, to get the right person, to have the right hooks in the advert. And, you know, where do you advertise nowadays? You know, things like Indeed and are there, but they're not cheap, these places. So if you can go onto LinkedIn or and put some free ads, you can do.
Mm.
But, or Facebook or whatever platform you want to use, Instagram. But again, word of mouth.
Mm.
That's the best way. You know, if you know somebody, I think, with interviewing.
Yes, and I mean, you know, on LinkedIn, when you've got a good network, or like we network anyway, in-person networking, that's great because you can say, oh, I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And they do it all the time in the chats and that.
Yes.
So, you know, not just with employees, but with, you know, if they're trying to rent a house or it's all those sorts of things, isn't it?
Yeah. And it is difficult to recruit people, good people. But they are out there and it's just perseverance, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about?
No, as I say, I think I'm really trying to push the training side of things for me. Mm-hmm. But enjoy being in a room, talking to people and just seeing what comes out of conversations. You know, I did a course fairly recently for a group of, for a small company, and quite a lot of things came out of the conversations that we had. We did some scenario training, and other people in the room, they don't all get together very often because they're not all in the office at the same time, were quite surprised, I think, at the extent, you know, where some people were because it was about EDI and you know, banter and things like that. What, and again, a different age group. So mm. some people maybe in their 20s obviously do think differently to people in their 50s.
Mm.
So what somebody in their 50s might say is completely different to somebody in their 20s, and they have a very different outlook. So bringing everyone together in the same room really, really helped with that. Because mm. they might think, well, I can say what that, but at the end of the day, well, you can't say that because some people might find that offensive. So, and I've, you know, come from a background where I was in the army a long time ago now, and, you know, women in the army were treated very differently, hopefully, to what they are now, but probably a lot of it's, you know, still the same, unfortunately.
Mm.
And you're a second-class citizen. And, you know, all that should have been wiped out, but I know for a fact things still go on in companies that shouldn't do.
Mm.
Not just women. It could be, you know, racial, sexual, any discrimination.
Mm.
Can't be there now. Yet people still think it's okay to say things. So I do feel very passionately about that.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, but it can't just be that training. There must be lots of different training. That
I can turn my hand to appraisal training, time management training, lots of different training. But, you know, I'm particularly passionate about the EDI, I think, and the way that people talk to each other. But, yeah, no, there's so many different types of training development that can be done for the managers as well. Yeah. Mm. But once they can get into the swing of doing the training, they won't need me as much. They can just go into a company and, well, they're in the company, they can just, you know, be responsible for their employees.
But maybe they don't want to. I mean, yeah, sometimes you want to be able to just say, right, okay, Hazel's going to deal with that.
Yeah.
Hazel can come in every 2 months or every 6 months or ever often, you know, because it depends on their turnover, I suppose, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And the workload, obviously, on a day-to-day basis. Yes, and that's another thing why people don't do the training, I think.
Mm.
They can't find the time to do it, which is not right. They should be, you know, making the time. I understand, because I've been there, you know, in a company where it's pressurised and every, you know, money counts, every second of every day counts. But in the longer term, people won't appreciate it if you don't put the money, the time and effort into the training.
And that helps with staff retention.
Absolutely. Yeah. Culture, retention. Mm. If people think that you're caring about them, they will stay.
Mm.
You think they can't be bothered, or they, you know, don't find the time for you, then they'll look elsewhere.
And training gives the team a voice.
Yeah,
doesn't
definitely.
It?
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that everyone in a business has a voice,
yeah.
and they know that they're being listened to.
Yeah, that's the training, that's the appraisals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the feedback.
Again, Elle was really good at that. I wasn't so good at it. I've got to say, I wasn't good. When she said she was going to start doing appraisals, I was like, what's that for?
Yeah, a lot of people think that it's not worth the paper it's written on. But as I say, it should be a two-way as well, feedback for you and your manager.
Yeah, well, Elle used to give me the feedback and I was just used to screw up my nose to be. Never mind. Right, okay, we're going to go now, listeners. So that was Hazel Hall of Get Ahead VA. And we're just going to play a few adverts. So the girls got a little bit of a break. And then we're going to play a song, which, guess what song I've got for you, Hazel? 9 to 5.
Like a double for Dolly. It's uncanny.
Yeah, exactly. So, so we're going over now. So we'll be back soon. Take care. Bye.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers, security worries, lost files. Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely and stress-free. Call 0179-534-2362 now and get your IT sorted.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Hi everyone, well here we are back again with Hazel Hall from, I've forgotten the name of the company.
Get ahead,
oh, it's live. And we're going to talk to Nicola Weathers now of the Writer's Studio. So you've been writing for a long time, haven't you, Nicola?
Yes, I'm very old.
Yeah, so when I'm not really, I didn't think that. I was thinking about, you know, looking at your CV. So you've got here Nick Wax, Marketing Manager and Copywriter for them. That was back in 2008.
Yes. I started just after I had my son. I didn't want to go back to London full time, and so I worked for Nick Wax, who are an outdoor waterproofing company. They sell products for waterproofing clothes.
Oh.
And they were local to me, they're in Wadhurst, and they were looking for someone to help out with a bit of copywriting. And so I went back a couple of days a week and did that for them. And then gradually over time, as happens when you're in a small business, the role grew and I took on more marketing parts of it.
Mm.
And that, I suppose that, I mean, before that, sort of even further back in time, my sort of career job was at Puffin Children's Books.
Oh, wow.
Which obviously was very creative, lots of contact with the authors and the artists. It's a real combined effort, although I was on the picture books, which had about 500 words. So there weren't huge numbers of words in, but every word absolutely matters in a picture book.
Mm.
And so that really instilled in me, you know, the power of words, the value of them, how they earn their keep, and storytelling.
Mm.
And also working in a team, that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. That must have been such an exciting period in your life.
It was great, and it was a bit like being at sixth form. I hope the bosses aren't listening, because it was just fun. You know, it was really creative, and the design team were brilliant, and the artists and the authors were amazing, and we got to meet some amazing folk. I used to work with Raymond Briggs. I mean, there were no words in The Snowman, but that's not... don't judge me on that. But, you know, managing those relationships with people like that is... it's a real lesson.
Mm.
And it sets you up, I think, for managing anybody. If you can manage an author like that, you can manage anyone in life, really.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about... you've got... that you were doing proofreading for Hanover.
Yes.
And LinkedIn consultant. So you were there for quite some time.
Yeah, I still work for them. And after I left Nick Wax, I went to a company called CityCV, which at the time was a really small company, and they were producing CVs for mainly financial professionals. Mm-hmm. And then since then, you know, the firm has just exploded and they're now sort of part of the Hanover Group, a big recruitment and search consultancy in London. And I'm still there. I've got this bungee relationship with them. I keep leaving, I keep going back, I keep leaving, I keep going back. But it's lovely to have that relationship. And now I work on I do some sort of final proofing before the CVs go out to clients. And I'm now doing LinkedIn consultancy for some of the clients who want some LinkedIn support, helping them decide where they want their LinkedIn to go, if they're looking for new jobs, if they're looking for speaker roles, if they're looking for non-executive positions, and just helping them plan some posts and the most effective way of using LinkedIn as a networking platform, really. So that's been nice. I've been enjoying that.
And I think that, you know, with something like LinkedIn, sometimes I think, you know, people put posts out and they don't quite realise what they're saying.
No.
And it's really, really important that you say the right things, well, on all social media, because it's there forever, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So what do you think about, you know, some of the people who maybe do make faux pas? I mean, spelling errors. I remember when we first started our social media business, it was amazing the amount of people who spelt director wrong or manager wrong.
Yeah, manger.
Yes. And, you know, it was like, gosh, this is your public profile. Mm. People are looking at it, and it's a bit worrying that you're a director and you can't spell director. Hopefully every director listening is going in and checking their LinkedIn now.
it's funny because spelling to me is so important. It's always been a real thing of mine. I've got, you know, lots of people can see, work well with numbers. For me, it's letters and words and the formation of words. And if I see a misspelt word, I'm like, and it's really important, I think, to get it right, because it just shows respect that you care. Equally, I know people make mistakes all the time. You know, we're not all comfortable with spelling and lots of dyslexia around, but we're all mad busy with time. I think that's the main problem. We're all in such a rush that people are dashing things out there. So they think, oh, that'll do, pop it up. Mm. Just take a step back. walk away, come back, or get someone else to have a look at it for you, because someone else will always spot a mistake. And something like manger instead of manager, it's easy done. We all do it. And things like LinkedIn, you can go and edit and correct it, as long as you know the mistakes. I mean, I don't like publicly calling out people for typos. I think it's just rude. Yeah. You know, we're all human.
Yeah.
And if it's someone I know, I might sort of drop them the line saying, by the way, you might want to change that.
I've had someone do that with me when I spelled something wrong, and I really appreciated it.
Yeah.
You know, they just sent me a private message.
Exactly.
And I really did appreciate
it. Yeah, you can't see it yourself.
No, and sometimes it doesn't matter how many times you read it.
Yeah. Your brain's expecting to see what it thinks it should be seeing.
Yes.
So one tool I use a lot actually on Word is the read aloud function. So if you put something in Word and then just hit read aloud, it reads out in a very quite robotic voice. But if you look away and just listen, then you'll hear any errors instantly. So if it's, it will say commercial manger, I think, well, that's not right. So, you know, it's an instant pickup. So it's a really, you know, free and easy. I use that a lot.
Oh, that's a really good idea. Okay, I've never heard of that, actually. So you started your own sort of writing and editorial services in 2016.
Yeah.
So I know that you, when did you join, like, BNI? Was that the first networking you ever went to?
I think it was, really. I mean, I've just had my 10th anniversary at the Writer's Studio on the 1st of July is when I started. And I think I've been in BNI for 8 years, a lot of years, isn't it? And before that, I think I was kind of part-time employed and doing the copywriting. And then when I decided to go full-time self-employed, I thought I need to sort out this networking thing. And, my husband at the time had been to a BNI meeting and it just sounded horrific. I'm like, I'm never doing that. I'm not getting up at 6:30 for anyone, or 5:30. I'm not, just no way, Jose. Anyway, I got invited to this networking meeting and I turned up and there was the BNI tablecloth. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? I don't want to be here. What do I do? But I'm too polite to leave. So I stayed and I've been going every Friday for 8 years. And it's that's testament to the people in the room. I think that's so true in networking. If you find your people,
yes,
they're going to be they're your sales team and your support team.
Yes.
And when you're self-employed, they're your company.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's, they come and they go, but it's finding when you're comfortable with those people and it works for you, you just could just hang on to it.
That was, the first time I ever went there, it was like, you know, I had to wait until Elle was of an age where I could leave her in the morning. That was the main thing, when they can get themselves to school, yeah, isn't it? So I didn't really look at it until then. I've been invited a few times and I'm like, no, I didn't even look at it. But then once she was 14, I thought, okay, I'm going to give it a go. And I'll tell you what I loved about it, the structure.
Yeah, very structured. Yeah.
That's what I loved about it more than anything. And that's what puts a lot of people off, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I really, you know, enjoyed that. And I was the same as you. I found my team. How long did it take before you got your first referral? Did it take very long?
It was probably something within the first 3 months, a small thing. Mm. And I think the thing with networking is it's not necessarily the people you're seeing every week. It's because you're seeing them every week, they get to know you and trust you and like you.
Mm.
And then they are happy to pass you on to their network.
Mm.
And certainly most of my referrals come from people outside of the room, if you like. So people who are happy to pass me on to their network, which is, you know, it's a really lovely thing to do because it means they trust you.
Yes.
Because you're not going to pass someone on who thinks a bit rubbish, are you? Because it's your reputation at stake.
Mm.
And so a bit like Hazel saying, you know, if you're a people person and you can just connect with people, then you're halfway there. Mm. But yeah, I mean, yeah, BNI, I think it was probably in the first 3 or 4 months I got a sort of a small thing.
Mm.
And then once you've done work for somebody and they can talk about it, and then that gives other people in the room the confidence to give you a go at something.
I mean, it took me longer to get it because I started as a dating agency and then I changed my category.
That's hard, yeah.
And I think when you do that, it's like, well,
what are you doing now?
And I didn't give up that other business, like the dating agency carried on, but the social media business was running alongside it. And to be fair, they were probably right because I didn't have a clue what I was doing.
You've got to be so clear, haven't you? If you don't know yourself and you're not singing from the same hymn sheet every week, they don't know what to do with you.
I was dropped in it, to be fair. But, you know, I mean, it was a business for 10 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was dropped in it from a very high height. So I ended up doing something and it was very difficult. I found that the other thing as well, because it was 2012, a lot of people didn't even understand what social media was.
No.
So do you find that about copywriting?
Yeah, I still do get a bit of that. People are like, well, what's that? Is that the legal thing or the little C in the... Nothing legal. Some people still are a bit bemused by it, and they're like, well, why did you get someone else to do it? Why didn't you just do it yourself? Because as a business owner, surely no one knows your business better than you, which is true, but there's a saying I use quite a lot, is that you can't read the label if we're inside the jar. So you cannot have that objectivity if we're working on your business every single day. It's so hard to step outside and put on a client hat and understand the language they all respond to, the prompts they'll respond to, the calls to action they'll respond to. And it, having that objectivity is how it works, really. And that's, I think that's how I have to sell it into people. It's like, well, look, I'm being your client, but also providing you, saving you time by getting the right words to the right people for the right reasons.
Because you're aiming the content at certain people, presumably, depending on what type of business you're working for. So Hanover is... what is it they do?
They are executive search.
Okay.
So they're putting people into jobs, really.
Right.
So for them, it's like I'm sort of slightly a step back from them. I'm literally involved on the sending out and quality checking the CVs. So I'm not sort of involved on a day-to-day basis of the search side of them. But certainly on the writing side that I do, it's, you know, it's across a huge spectrum of different businesses.
So I've got a client feedback here, and Nicholas being outstanding, I could not recommend her highly enough. Nothing is too much trouble. Her attention to detail is second to none. Thank you for all your hard work supporting me and my business. Tom Woolley, TW Brokers.
Lovely, Tom.
So what did you do for Tom?
I did his web copy. He started out in business, was it last year, I think? And we met, funnily enough, at Metro Bank Networking. Yeah. And I knew him years ago. We used to run in the same running club. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's about 7 foot tall and I'm not, so he was a very good runner, I was not. But we saw him at Metro Bank, went for coffee, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm starting my business. And then when he was ready, he tapped me up and we worked on his web copy together. And I've just gone back and done some more for him. And then he's since joined our BNI group.
Oh, right, okay.
So it's the story that never ends, me and Tom.
So what does Tom do?
He is a insurance broker, so private health insurance.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, he'll things like AXA and PPP, he'll help people with their personal insurance companies and individuals.
And that's a really good staff thing to have, isn't it? Benefit.
Amazing, oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, a lot of people, that because it's quite, if you're paying for it yourself out of your wages, it can be quite expensive. But if you've got lots of staff going for it,
yeah,
it's a really good staff benefit to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so have you girls got it?
I've got
Tumbleweed.
No, I've got Bennington Healthcare.
Yeah.
Which I've had myself, yeah. Mm. We did, a couple of companies I worked for, we did have staff benefits, yeah.
Yeah, yes. And I think that's a really good start. I mean, some I know that they'll work for a company in Kings Hill and they paid for them to go to a gym. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a big posh gym on Kings Hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that was a massive benefit.
Yeah, huge,
To be fair, not many of the staff probably used it because when it's given to you like that, why...
You don't value it so much, so it's not coming out of your wage packet.
No, I think it's where you do this 50-50 thing is probably a good way to do staff benefits because then they're sort of having to pay for part of it themselves and they can choose whether they want to opt in or not, which is a really good way of doing it.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to the real nasty issue, which is four reasons to use a human copywriter. Because this is a very recent thing that, you know, copywriters have come up against. Mm. And, I mean, funnily enough, I mean, I've had a few people that are just starting out as copywriters. And you're thinking, wow, fancy coming into this when they've got to go up against this.
Yeah.
So how has it impacted on you, Nicola?
It's had quite an impact, really. Last year was really hard because I think AI just really came to the fore last year and people thought, this is amazing, it can do everything, it costs nothing, it will do everything I need it to do, it's bright, new and shiny.
Mm.
And the shine always wears off because if it sounds too good to be true, invariably it is.
Mm.
And I mean, AI is amazing. I use it a lot. But it has limitations, you know, and it's never going to be human. It's artificial. It hasn't got actual intelligence. It hasn't got experience. Hasn't got humour. It just doesn't, and it won't. And it's, you know, it's scraping from the same pool of copy. And the more AI copy that's out there, the more that's going to get regurgitated. Sorry, that wasn't your question, was it? Once I get on my soapbox about AI, you might get me off. but it is a challenge because it is seen as, and it, I mean, it can, you know, you can ask it to write a website and it will do it in 5 minutes.
Mm.
I shouldn't have told you that. But what it won't do is it won't talk to the business owner. It won't find out why they do what they do, what their passion is. And behind every business is an owner, and they're their USP.
Mm.
And an AI will batter out copy about this is what it does, but what it won't tell you is about that person and what that person has brought to the business, which is what makes it special.
Mm.
And say again, people buy from people. And you can tell when someone's taken the time to put thought into something, and it's, you know, it's the language patterns as well. You know, as humans, we don't necessarily speak in robotic patterns. You know, we have colloquialisms, we have little turns of phrase that we use, and with an AI reduced set of copy, it's going to be, you know, bang, 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 rules of three, whether A, B or C. You know, it's very formulaic.
Yes, it is. I mean, when I first started using it, it was sending out, I used an AI company. They were members with us, and I thought, oh, I'm going to give them this opportunity. They said, oh, we can do this on LinkedIn. I went in to see the messages, and all the messages started with howdy.
Oh, looks. not God. One of your favourite words.
I said to the company, I am not American, I'm British. Please start all of my emails with hello.
Hello.
And the other thing I found, actually, when I've used it personally for different things, is that I am constantly correcting it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, God, you can never just take what it puts out first time. No.
And it sometimes it will say something, and if you say, no, that's wrong, I don't want that, I want something else, what it would do is give you what it's given you before.
Yeah.
Because you've accepted that. So say you ask for 10 things,
yeah,
and you say, well, I don't like that one, I don't like that one. And you say, I want two more. It just gives you two that it's given you before.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I know. You have to just keep poking it and say, no, 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 no.
I know.
And challenge everything.
So you think that it saves time and you think it saves money, but actually the amount of time you can spend on it...
Oh, it's like a wormhole, isn't it? Once you get going, it's...
It is, I mean, like a wormhole.
You know, there are... You can, of course, learn how to use AI. Of course you can. And people do very, very well with it. And you can train it to write in your voice. But, you know, that's not for everybody.
Mm.
You know, the kind of, the people I'm working with, they want a website. They don't want to have to sit and train an AI. They want someone like, can just make this happen.
Mm.
And it's probably quicker for them to just give it to someone like me and I'll make it happen. And then they've got it and they don't have to double check all the facts because I've done that already. Mm. And that's the other thing, you know, AI, it hallucinates, it makes stuff up. Mm. If it doesn't know, it'll tell you something rather than saying, I don't know. Whereas a human, would you mind explaining that a bit more? I wouldn't just go and make something up about someone.
Well, funnily enough, last week on the show, I was with Jill Russell, and Jill said to me that her daughter had gone in and asked AI to give her social media for her business a score out of 100. So on our online last week, I said to the people that were on there, because I do a little bit of training with them, I said, right, I want you all to go to AI and say, please give my social media a score out of 100. It gave all of us 78. We all got 78. Now, this really surprised me because I'm prolific across... the only one really I'm not on is X, Thread as well. I don't know I'm on. But I'm on everything else. So, you know, it came back saying, oh, you do really well on this, da-da-da-da-da. And it told me everything I did well on. And then I said, right, how can I improve it? This is before I spoke to anyone else, and it gave me things on how I should improve it. But one of the women isn't doing any social media at all, and it still gave her 78.
Brilliant.
And I thought, this is like a boyfriend who's just trying to please you.
Yeah. Like, what criteria is it using? Yeah. That's what AI is, a boyfriend trying to please you. Yeah.
It was just, it was bizarre. I just thought, how can it give us all the same score?
That's crazy.
So to me, that was like a real light bulb moment, yeah. I suppose, where, you know, it didn't differentiate. It did differentiate because it came back with different things of why it gave us 78.
Mm.
But the person who wasn't posting, I'm like, even she was like, why have I got 78? Yeah. You know.
The rest of you are like, why are we bothering?
Oh, no. That's exactly it. Oh, dear. So I have, when I was in the social media business, I did write a chapter in a book.
Oh.
which I wrote for the wellbeing industry, which I really enjoyed doing, actually. And I have my friends all the time say to me, Linda, you need to write a book. Obviously, I never will. But you've got here business books, yes or no. What's all that about?
Oh, a lot of people read business books. I mean, there's a million out there. Mm-hmm. And someone every day is all saying, oh, you must read this book. I love this book. I love this book. I'm just not very good at reading business books. I'm not very good at reading non-fiction, I think. I'm such a voracious fiction reader that I find it hard to read non-fiction because I can't give the time in the day to read it, even though it's about business, so it should be part of my working day.
Mm.
And I don't want to go to bed and be reading How Richard Branson Made His Millions or whoever.
Mm.
And so I've just, I'm like, you know, I'll get a chapter or two in, I'm like, oh, I can't be doing with this. It's just not my bag. And I know lots of people swear by them and love them and will listen to them on audiobook. I can't do that either. But I've just, maybe I'm reading the wrong ones, or maybe I'm too cynical. I don't know. But they just.
What is it you don't like about them?
Everything.
Is it because they're so bouncy? It's a bit like when you go to, I used to be a representative for Herbalife, and you go to one of their, you go to one of their things up in, and everyone's like cheering.
Yeah, and we're amazing. High five, high five.
I know.
Maybe.
Do you think they're like that?
Maybe I'm too miserable. I don't know. Do you know, I don't know what it is. I just think it's the whole non-fiction thing. And I'm really bad. One of the reasons I went self-employed was because I'm very bad at being told what to do.
Mm.
And I think business books are, of course, that's what they're there for. They're like self-help books. They're telling you what to do, how to run your business. I'm like, oh, I don't think so. I'd much rather muck it up by myself, learn a lesson from it, and come back. I don't know. I mean, what do you think? How do you read them?
No, I don't really read business books. I read a lot as well, so much.
Yeah.
Crime and crime fiction. Yeah. I love
that. And it's a release. It's an escape. That's why I read.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I've been given a few business books over the years, and I think I tried Richard Branson's one because it was all about benefits and giving people a limo for a month and things like that when he was first starting out.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to incentivize staff. But there aren't many, the Seven Habits and things like that.
Oh,
no.
The Monk and the Ferrari.
Big no from me as
and
well,
you know, I think, because I'm not money orientated particularly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not interested in how to make my million. I mean, obviously, you know, we all need money to live, but it's not my driving factor.
Mm.
You know, I work this job because I enjoy it and I get paid for it, which is great. But I think because all of these books that I've come up against are all about making money, retiring when you're whatever age, having your first million in the bank, having a limo. I don't care. I think that's the thing. That's why I don't like them.
No, I think you're right. I don't like business books either. So, yeah.
Give me a recipe book any day.
Yeah, I don't read recipe books, funny enough, but I do read business books. I've read The Seven Habits of Seven Highly Effective
People. Yeah. Yes.
Stephen Covey. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I found that a bit boring, actually.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. I read that whole book, actually. That's one I've read. That's one and only.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Yeah. And one that I read was Automatic Habits, which I thought was really good. I enjoyed that. But what it made, so I thought I'm going to test this. So I decided that I would do squats while I was cleaning my teeth. Right,
mm-hmm.
Clean your teeth, do squats.
Yeah.
I suddenly started getting injuries in my knees, and I couldn't understand it. So I was with my osteopath because I had a particularly bad injury, and he said to me, well, show me how you're doing squats. And when I showed him, he went, you're doing them completely wrong. So I was doing the squats. So that proves that what you need to do is focus on the thing you're doing, like cleaning your teeth.
One thing at a time.
Don't try and do.
We can't multitask. It's not possible.
Well, I can, but not teeth and squats.
So that's a business there, surely. Teeth and squats.
Yes. So I basically decided that, no, what I'm going to do. So funnily enough, I have gone over to escapism because I'm finding that's really helping me with fiction. And I do literally go into another world completely.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's either going back in time or into the fantasy world or whatever.
Yeah.
That's literally what I do. Mm. And I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. So would you ever write a book?
Everyone asks me this. I mean, never say never, but I just don't know what I'd write it about. You know, there's so many books out there, and now it's so easy to self-publish. That there's a lot out there. And again, it's like, who would want to read my ramblings? I mean, obviously I'm hilarious, so it'd be brilliant. But who would want, you know...
You could write a crime book if you, talk about crime.
And I could, yeah. I did think the other day we could write... It's going to be off script now. we could have a crime book with the central character would be called DIY. And he'd have a day job in B&Q where he'd get by all his elaborate trap things that he would catch the criminals at night. And he'd be DIY at night and BAQ manager in the day.
You shouldn't have said that. Someone might pick up on that.
Copyright. Can I do a verbal copyright with the C in the little circle?
Oh, dear. We had a situation last night where, because we use the letters and everyone always says, what are the letters for?
Mm.
They only actually come into play if there's less than 12 people.
Okay.
We did an event last night, Chris and Laura did an event, and they said four people stood up and said they had the letter C because they all thought the copyright was their letter. So that was quite funny.
We're simple souls, aren't we?
I know. So would you write a book, Hazel?
I have thought about it. I did a couple of short stories, which got published, actually, but that was late teens. I've read all my life, really, and I think I used to read at home. My mum used to call me down for dinner, and I'd be still reading my book. Same. And, you know, she had to call me about four or five times because I got so engrossed in this book. So I have done a couple of short stories. I don't know, and I guess... But the thing is, I think you've got to be so deliberate and know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and the books that I tend to read are, they'll be like you, I guess, crime books, or I don't know that much about crime, but I guess I could go off at a tangent. I read a few romance books and they look quite easy to me. It's like Rivals, Jilly Cooper, blockbuster.
But it's that, you know, the thickness of that book, it's the plot, isn't it? Yeah, I'd get lost in my own plot.
Yeah.
Be like, imagine the wall, it'd be like a beautiful mind, all these scribblings of who belongs to who. And, oh,
my God. Story.
But even if you think about Harry Potter, you know, how her mind must work to have created these games and scenarios and characters. And
well, things like The Hobbit, though.
Hobbit as well. Yeah.
Imagine so involved. The whole Tolkien.
The whole world, isn't it?
Yeah, the whole works of that. Yeah, Tolkien. It's amazing.
So for our listeners, we're actually listening to Nicola Weathers of the White Writing Studio, and we've diverted completely to books that we enjoy reading.
Maybe collaboration.
Absolutely.
So I think one of the reasons that my friends have asked me to write a book is because I ran a dating agency.
Oh, you'd have some stories, yeah.
So let me just tell you one story that will make you laugh as ladies. So my friend was asked to go to lunch, right? And so she went and she met this chap in Rochester, and they got a drink, and he said, what do you want for lunch then? And she said, oh, well, would you want to get a menu? He said, well, plain or salt and vinegar.
No.
Honestly. Oh, God. I said to her, did you choose? She said, no, I left.
I said, did you leave? Yeah, that'd be my choice, leave. Wow.
But isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So, I mean, those sort of things, those little stories, and obviously I have got loads of those, to do a book, I think people have done that, but to do a book with those sorts of stories in would be, probably would have been more appropriate when I was still running that business. Probably wouldn't be very appropriate now. But, very, very funny time.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I want to... have you got anything else you want to say about your business, Nicola?
I mean, you know, I think it's really important to trust a human with your words rather than a machine at the end of the day. And talking, I think it's one of the things about copywriting is I find I'll talk to the business owners and I think they find that as a really cathartic process because they'll be talking about their business and then something will just come from the back of their mind they'd forgotten about, almost like the reason they started it. And then that can form like the gem of what we're writing, or it really reminds them of why they do what they do. I think that's really valuable when you're working in a business because you do forget after, you know, years of doing what you're doing. So it's just a really good process to talk to somebody else about what you do. I'd say it's always worth having that conversation.
I think the other thing as well is when you were saying you did web copy, I think what a lot of business owners don't realise is with things like search engine optimization, the importance of blogs.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking your business down into those sections of information. So, like with HR, you know, you're offering training, you're offering all these different things that you can offer. And if you had a blog about each one of those.
Exactly.
And then that draws people in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because people will come on and they'll read that blog.
Yeah, and FAQs are really important, especially now that search is changing so much. You know, you've got SEO, AIO, GEO, all the O's. So to try and maximise your chance of getting found, you kind of need to answer all the ways people are searching. And that's there's a lot now. So having FAQs, you know, we're now typing in questions into various search engines or AIs, you know, we'll say, what's the best way to cut my grass on a Sunday? Something, you know, that's super specific. But if you can answer that exact question, then when someone types that in, your answer will pop up. And then your company will pop up.
Funnily enough, that was in one of the self-help books that I read.
Cutting your grass on a Sunday?
No, he sold swimming pools. And what he did was he looked at every... So he was a salesman, and he looked at every single question. So when he started his business, he looked at every single question that every customer had ever asked him. He put that in to a page on his website, and his website went scooting up to the top more or less straight away. So it's thinking about the questions that people ask you, and those are the things that you need to...
That's what your customers want to know.
Yeah.
So they're giving you what they want to know, so why not put it on your website?
Yeah, absolutely.
And blogs are invaluable because they, I mean, not only, as I say, they're answering questions, they position you as a subject matter expert, you can focus on one bit of your business, and Google and other search engines, they like to know that you're still a going concern as a business. So if you keep posting new content, they'll keep... crawling, and you'll keep coming up in the search results. If you don't post for years on end, they'll think you're not a going concern anymore and will stop indexing you.
That was another thing actually that someone said the other day. We did we do a trades event on the first Friday of each month, and at the trades event we always have someone. So this is the only event where we provide training. So we did a training the other day, and it was M&A Digital, and they did it on how to, you know, not worry about Google Ads or paying someone for SEO, just do regular posts on your Google. And when you do that just once a week, it makes a massive difference to where you come on the searches. And they were saying also make sure your profile is fully complete. Now, I've had people on this show, what I do, as I said to you girls, I print off your profiles, and I've had people on here who haven't really got a profile. And that makes a massive difference because if you're going to be on, people search on social media. So you need to have that fully completed profile, which is really, really important. Do you do that for many people? Write their profiles for them? Or
Some company, if I get a company to work for and it starts with a website, then, you know, we might look at their all of their output and everywhere that they are, all of their channels. And cohesion is really important across them all. So, you know, if you've got all the different social media channels and Google My Business, it's just important that you're saying the same thing across them all. So, and that is, I mean, you know, they're difficult because you have so few words that you can use. So again, it's like thinking, what do my customers, how are they going to respond? What do they want to know? And it's making sure that's captured in all the different platforms.
Yeah, because you're going to have a lot more on LinkedIn than you can on Instagram, for example. Okay.
And who knows how any of them work, actually. The algorithms change on an almost daily basis, don't they? So it's like just...
That's why we sold our business. So I was like, I can't keep up with this. Let's do something I know. I'm just going to deal with people. So that's why we changed. Right, we're going to go to another song now, just a couple more adverts, and then we'll be back and we'll be talking about events. So speak to you soon.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Looking for the perfect stay in Maidstone? Discover comfort, style and convenience at Arida Hotels Maidstone. Whether you're visiting for business or a weekend escape, enjoy spacious rooms, a fully equipped gym, relaxing spa facilities and delicious dining, all under one roof. With easy access to local Kentish attractions and excellent service from check-in to check-out, your stay is in great hands. Book today at Arida Hotels Maidstone, where every visit feels just right.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We're with Hazel Hall of Get Ahead VA and Nicola Withers of the Writer Studio. And I am Linda Cloak from Synergy Networking Events. So welcome back. We're going to talk about events now. And you've got some coming up, haven't you?
I have. Get Connected has. We've got two events, one in Maidstone on the 21st of July and one in Tunbridge Wells on the 30th of July. They're both at Metro Bank and they're from 8:30 in the morning to 11 o'clock. You get a lovely free breakfast, award-winning breakfast in Tunbridge Wells. As Helene from Loaf Story won at the Tunbridge Business Awards the other week. Well done her, micro business. She makes the delicious cinnamon buns.
Amazing.
Absolutely fantastic. And yeah, so they're both just free, come along, friendly events, talk to anybody about anything. Obviously, there are business people in the room, so you know, if you want any advice on anything, people are quite happy to chat about other things as well as talk about business as well as other things. But I think that you'll come in, you'll be welcomed, introductions are made to other people at the Metro Bank event. Both Chris, who is at Maidstone, and Lohit, who's at Tunbridge Wells, are really approachable business managers. And I think that's what Metro Bank was about. You know, we're trying to continue that networking events with them. And I'm going to be starting one in Orpington, actually, as well, in August. 20th of August.
Got so before me. I was going to do that one.
Oh, right. Okay, no. I've got Orpington lined up in August. So, yeah. Apparently, it's one of the busiest ones in Kent. Ooh. The busiest branches.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I used to work right opposite when I worked in Orpington in Cray Avenue.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well, that'd be really good. Well, I'll be interested in coming along to that one for sure. But, I mean, I love Metro Bank, you know, and we have, we do the first Wednesday of every month. So we do alternate Ashford 1 month and Canterbury the next.
Yep.
So because we're running 12 events a month now, I find it's a bit much to be doing one every month, although I think Greg's quite keen for us to do that.
Okay.
But I think we've got to, you know, build them both up a bit more first. So did you start off doing them monthly or?
Yeah, they've just started off because all the Get Connected ones are monthly. I think it was just easier to carry on in that vein, really.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it just, they started off quite small, I would say. Maidstone probably only had about 5 people when we started it up, but it's gradually grown and we regularly get 25 people there now in the room.
Yeah, that's what Greg said the other day, because I think we had about 10 in Canterbury and he was like, but it was funny because the first time we were there, we had about 25.
Okay.
So it's strange, isn't
it? Does depend on time of the year, obviously.
School
holidays. Coming into holidays now. So whether the ones in July will be as busy. Sometimes it depends on the weather.
Yeah.
You know, in the winter, people don't feel like going out if it's pouring with rain. Or conversely, it's really hot and sunny. Yeah. And then also, you know, things pop up at work. And I think because they are free events, people aren't, you know, they're not having to pay anything at all. If things come up, there's no obligation for them to turn up at the event.
Yeah,
which is a shame, but I understand.
Yeah, I do. I understand.
Yeah.
So we were just talking in the break about the Wadhurst Castle event.
Yes.
So what did you think of that, Nicola?
I loved it. I mean, beautiful venue. And it helped that it was a gorgeous sunny day and we could see all the way across East Sussex and Kent. It was stunning. But venue aside, there was just a really good mix of people.
It was.
I mean, how many were there? Near 40?
Yeah, 45.
And so, you know, have that many people in the same room and work your way around the room talking to select people was just, yeah, it was a great opportunity. Really enjoyed it.
And I like the open network in the beginning because we had the gin guy there.
Yeah, we had John O'May Gin there with his stand giving out free samples.
That was great.
Yeah, Matt's great at that. And his place, if anybody gets a chance to go to John O'May Gin Distillery in Chevening, he does free sampling there, you can go along to that. And I've bought a few bottles of his gin, shall we say, over the years. But yeah, no, it was great. And I mean, Katie did a great job.
She did.
At Wadhurst Castle.
Yeah, it was excellent. The other thing I thought was that, you know, you had that, just that difference of open networking, but it still felt busy everywhere, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Which was really, really good.
Yeah.
So, Did you come away feeling that you'd got anything from it? Did you build new relationships?
Oh, yeah, definitely met people I hadn't met before. And there was certainly a lot of very serious nodding around the table when I was talking, which I think wasn't all gin-based. I think, and it is just having that opportunity to talk to people you've got your 3 minutes or whatever just to talk to people. And, you know, that you can't put a price on that, can you, really?
No, no.
And, you know, hopefully we've connected afterwards on LinkedIn. So hopefully, you know, that'll have gone into their memory too.
Yeah, fantastic. And you've both said that you've worked for businesses in Wadhurst.
Yeah, well, I was at the charity Celia Hammond Animal Trust. So we were based above the shop. That's our headquarters. We had two clinics, one in Lewisham and one in Canning Town. The headquarters is actually was based in the High Street in Wadhurst.
I know it well.
And I know where Nick Wax was. Yes. Down the
road. We're up the other way. Yeah.
And is there a lot of businesses in Wadhurst?
It's surprising, actually. Mm. It's a busy little. Well, it's a village, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But where Nick Wax is an industrial estate, and they've got about three different sites. And they're big. There's over 50 of them. But there are, I think there's more than you realise, tucked away. Mm. And there's a lovely little high street. Yes. I love Wadhurst. It's such a nice, charity shops are amazing.
Mm. And it was voted the best place to live in 2023.
Was it really?
Yes. In the country,
beautiful.
I think.
It's beautiful.
We had Kirsty Orsop, I think, came. She was interviewing in the village. Mm. And my manager at the time said, oh, come on, Hazel, you go out and talk to, you can talk to anybody. Go and talk to Kirsty. She was just going around interviewing people.
Wow.
That had been the best place to live.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one event. We've got the Arida. We regularly do our big events there. And we call them our summits. And we've got a summit coming up on the 30th of September. That's going to be a 10:30 in the morning event. So that's going to be like smoothies and pastries. And
yeah, I came to one of those before and I really enjoyed it. I thought, I didn't really know what to expect. So I think it's the first one I went to. Mm. And you've got about 100 people in the room, haven't you?
108, yeah.
Yeah, wow. But you've put them into groups of 30, is it?
36 per group, yeah.
And that just really worked.
Yes, yeah, it does. So we're doing this by invitation only.
Okay.
So we've got 180 members. So we'd be putting it out to the members because I think it'd be really great for members to actually meet each other.
Yeah.
Mm. And what we're going to be providing going forward is every member will be getting a private link to a new area on the website, which is going to be a members-only area.
Okay.
Where you can chat to other event members and the pro members can chat to anyone they want, and then the patrons can choose who they. So once they start a conversation with someone, they can do that. So that's going to be really powerful, I think. Mm. And we're talking about potentially putting those into what we're going to call synergy supersets. So our synergy supersets will be business services. So it'd be divided into sections,
okay.
Construction, because we're finding that the trades event with KCC Trading Standards is really, really going well. So, I've had someone else ask me, a venue ask me if I can do a trades one up in Dartford. Mm. But as I say, we've got 12 events going a month at the moment. Yeah, so, and with the other things, because obviously we go to, so on the 16th of July, Pitcher Pints and Prosecco have got an event.
Oh, yeah.
So that's two of our bookkeepers.
Okay.
They've launched a very... It's a bit like Metro Bank, to be honest.
Yeah, I've been once. Yeah.
You do have to pay to go.
Mm.
But it's really laid back, easy. It's 6:30 in the evening. And then on the 17th, I think I'm out every night next week. On the 17th, it's actually an indoor quiz with 21 Together.
Mm.
So do you know of any other charity events that are going on?
Oh, that's a question.
Do you have a charity in your BNI?
Yes, we do. We have TaylorMade Dreams.
We do as well.
We both have.
We've both got TaylorMade Dreams.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So they must have quite a few events coming up, do they?
They've got the big balls next year now.
The big ball, yes.
Yeah. The ball every other year.
They've got a dragon boat race at the end of August on Buell Water, Wadhurst, which is always good fun.
Yeah.
And I think they've got some car shows they're going to where they're, you know, the bucket rattling, they're not putting those on, they're this sort of charity there. They're an amazing charity, aren't they?
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, we did a tea.
Oh, yes, tea for Tay.
And they're trying to September.
September, yeah. They've got, so the lady who runs the charity, Susie Mitchell, it's in memory of her son, Taylor, who died, and they made a bucket list before he died. And so the idea of the charity is that they fulfil bucket list wishes for children with life-limiting illnesses. And it creates memories for their families and for them, and you know, puts a smile on their face in the most adverse of conditions. And this year in September, Taylor would have been 30. So the charity are doing a whole month, 30 for Tay, where they're trying to raise £30,000 and encouraging people to do whatever they want. You know, have a garden party and invite your neighbours and charge them a fiver or something, or have a sort movie
on
night.
On the 30 theme, isn't it, as well?
Yes, yeah, on 30.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, 30 squats a day, so...
Not when you're brushing your teeth, eh?
No.
And but have a movie and sort of thing. Charge your friends to watch the movie, the bucket list, things like that. So they're just trying to... It's a real drive. So that's the whole of September. If anyone's got any ideas on what would work, that would be great.
Wow. So Imago is the charity in Synergy.
Yeah.
And that they've been the charity there for some time, haven't they?
Yes, so, since the one beginning.
Yeah.
So actually, Jen is coming to talk at Metro Bank in a couple of weeks' time because she wanted to talk about Carers Week.
Right.
Which was actually, I think it was the beginning of June, but she couldn't do the June event, so she's coming to talk at Metro Bank. So occasionally we have talks at Metro Bank, usually only when there's something like International Women's Day. So then I felt obliged to do an International Men's Day as well.
Like they needed it.
Yes. So we're having Jen talk about Carers Week.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got some great charities. So, you know, Synergy gives one charity, although in Kings Hill we've got two. So we've got Kings Hill tomorrow morning. And that group is just exploded.
Mm.
So what do you think about the times of networking? Obviously, you said, you know, no one's going to get me to a BNI 6:30 in the morning. But, I mean, they've got over 600 members across Kent. And, you know, they're obviously successful across the world. Mm. So the 6:30 in the morning does work. Mm-hmm. But they, while I was there, started opening chapters 10:30 in the morning, midday. Mm. Because I think 21, is it?
That's where I am, We're 9:30 in the morning, that's where I go.
Oh, right, okay. So, and we found that our 10:30 in the morning ones are, you know, really sort of attractive to people. So do you think the time of day that you do an event is important?
I think it attracts different people, as you say. It's sort of, I think those really early ones are particularly good for trades because they can still have a whole day on the tools. Yes. Whereas you go to a lunchtime one or a 9:30 when you're missing half a day, unless you've got a business development manager who can go for you. And I think, you know, you've got the reason we start at 9:30 was to catch the school run parents, because you can't do networking if you're dropping the kids off at school. You just can't do it at 6:30 in the morning. And I think it depends. If there's something for everybody at different points of the day, you're going to capture everybody somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are busy every day, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I think sometimes it's finger in the air.
Again, you know, with parents, sometimes the evening events don't work.
That's so right.
They put their children to bed.
Yeah.
If you haven't got a partner or a husband or wife that's around, you know, you have to do it all yourself. So the evening wouldn't work for you. But I think there are different ones that do work at different times.
Well, we found that the groups that are working best for us are Kings Hill. Maidstone has been popular really from day one. Canterbury is actually really popular as well. And we've got Whitstable tonight, actually. And we just moved to a place called Chesterfield Barn. Okay. So some of the venues we use are amazing venues. And somebody's getting married in the venue we use in Tunbridge Wells, aren't they, Hazel?
They are indeed.
Who could that be?
When are you getting married there?
1st of May next year.
Wow.
Less than a year away.
Okay. Are you going on a nice honeymoon?
Just planning it now. Look at the Caribbean.
Lovely.
Yeah, we've got engaged in Nevis. So looking back at going back there and maybe Antigua.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, starting to plan it now.
That's going to be exciting. Well, you've got to plan it, haven't you? Weddings, you've got to plan.
Most of the things are planned with a wedding, but yeah, the honeymoon's just going through now.
Yeah. So. Oh, fantastic. How exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so talking about events, we actually had the Arida as well approach us in regards to doing a pre-Christmas event. So we're doing in September as well. So we've got our big event in September on the 30th, but we've got two events for the Arida, which are a fantastic opportunity for businesses, because what they're doing is they're saying, right, okay, you can come to either the Holiday Inn in Sevenoaks or come to the Arida in Maidstone. So Holiday Inn in Sevenoaks is obviously best for the people from your area. Mm. And you can come in, have tasters of their Christmas menu. They're going to have you know, the different things there, like a photo booth, and so you could dress up, go there and make it a sort of a staff, you know, celebration sort of thing, which I think is really good. Or, you know, for small businesses, it's great to just go out with your wife and say, you know, would we want to bring the team here?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's come out and give it a try and see for B&I. Mm. Let's have this as our Christmas venue. Mm. Mind you, you probably use your venue as your Christmas venue, do you?
No. We don't really have a Christmas do. We didn't have one last year.
Oh, I thought most of them did.
Or maybe they did and I didn't do it.
I can't remember. Did not invite you, Hazel.
Let me know.
Did you not get the invite?
Where did you go?
Move on. I can't remember. It was like 7 months
ago. I think there was one. It was the Tunbridge Wells Hotel, the Pantiles.
Right.
Well, I couldn't go.
Yeah.
We went to Shuffle House.
Oh, okay. I quite like it there.
It's just reopened. It's been closed. It's reopened now. It's the Duck and Goose.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, okay. So, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be something that's really
that
different
really good.
For people.
When is that, in September?
So the one at Seven Oaks is the 10th of September, and the one at Maidstone is going to be 25th of September, and then we've got our big one on 30th of September. So, and the other thing we're doing is through Metrobank, we're looking at working with Canterbury University. They've asked us to do an event where it's employers talking to engineering students.
Oh, nice. That's good.
So we would have three engineering students on a table, three employers on a table, make the questions obviously relevant to the situation, and do a networking event there for them.
That's really good.
Mm. Yeah.
So well, when I worked in engineering, we never got enough women for a start. Yeah. We had one woman apprentice join in the whole time I was there. She left to join the police, which is really annoying. But trying to get apprentices, you know, to last for 3 years, it's really difficult sometimes. Mm. Either through, I don't know what it is, they just, well, going to college one day a week was a bit of a nightmare. They couldn't get up to go to college, I don't think, or maybe the right courses weren't found at the right colleges as well. I did find that quite difficult to source the right colleges. So I used a training provider in the end to do that for me. But yeah, so important to push people into engineering.
Do you think apprenticeships are different now to how they used to be? I mean, they don't seem to be as, you know, when you used to be on apprenticeship, again, when I was younger, people go on apprenticeship, that would be it. They'd stick to it. And yeah.
I think it's really hard to find the right one. Two people recently, there's a lady in my B&I chapter and a guy from a different company, have both asked me recently to try and find the right apprenticeship, the right college and the right training provider that will sign off their apprentice. They just, you know, they just come in, you're supposed to come and monitor their work. Mm. And, you know, trying to find these training providers is really difficult. You go on the government website, they're no help at all. And I'm not getting paid for this, but I just find it, I'm just trying to do it to help companies, and you can't find the information.
Yeah.
There's no wonder the employers can't find the information. I sort of know where I'm looking because I've done it before.
Mm.
But trying to get that information is really difficult, I think.
And they just give up.
Yeah, they give up. That's why people don't take them on.
Mm.
And they're subsidised still. You still get money taking an apprentice into your company.
You think they'd have something on the government website?
They don't. Yeah. Well, they do have bits, but it's really hard to find. You've got to dig deep. People don't do that anymore.
No.
No.
But if I'm trying to find something, I don't like giving up.
No.
So, you know, I've been really, really trying to help people do this.
Mm.
And there was the lady in our, the printing lady, Lucy, she wanted a printing apprentice. They do a course, they do a printing technician course, level 2 and a level 3, but the nearest college I could find was Malden or somewhere in Essex.
Wow.
From Tunbridge Wells to get there.
No way.
It's ridiculous, especially if they don't, they're 16 to 18
year old. They can't drive.
They don't drive.
Yeah.
You have to leave at a silly 8 o'clock in the morning to get there.
Well, and you worry about being on the train, I would have.
Absolutely, and also, you know, money and everything else.
Oh, cost of fortune to get there.
Yeah. So they don't make it easy.
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
So I've just had someone ask for a shout out.
Oh.
Well done, Jackie Sansom. So she is starting the launch of the best performance assessment to gain insight into your stress patterns and tips on how to manage them. So that's going to, the course is a 6-week course and it's actually starting 6:30 next Tuesday, the 14th. I'm going on it actually.
Okay.
I don't know if I'll ever manage my stress buttons.
That's 6:30 in the evening.
Yeah. So, Yeah, that's why I'm out so many nights next week, because that, although that's on Zoom, but if you've got something on, I still call it being out.
Yeah, you're not.
Yeah.
I've got to put it as being out.
Oh, yeah.
Basically. So the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is, have either of you been on the networking events?
No.
No, because it clashes with my BNI meeting. Right. Which is a shame.
Okay. So we're talking about Thackeray Williams networking.
Yes, Fridays.
Yes, Friday. Yes, that's right. Yes. So is it the first or the last Friday? I can't remember. I think it's the last Friday, isn't it?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. So they hold networking and networking, and they basically they sometimes get like 50 people there, don't they? So we're doing them now from Thanet.
Okay.
For people down there, and that's run by Jackie Sanson, and Chris and Laura do it on the third Friday of each month. So we've got one going out from Moat Park, and that's been really well attended. So what we do with our networking is we do a structure where you move up. So depending on how many people there are, you basically you speak that you walk two by two, and you speak to that person, then we move you. And the reason we do that is because I've found that when I've been on networking before, you can get stuck.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very difficult to move on. Or you might end up with three of you, and then it's a bit easier to move on. But so it's just two of us, and then we move people on. And it basically does a rotation system, so you get to speak to everybody who's on the walk. Obviously, you wouldn't be able to do that with 50 of you.
Yeah, no.
But you'd speak it to an awful lot more people than I have when I've been on the walks. So I must suggest it to Katrina, actually.
Yes. Yeah. I think they do some in Knoll Park.
They do Knoll Park, and they do... Churchill's place.
Westrum. Chartwell.
Chartwell. And there might be another one they do as well. I think there's three places where they do the walks from.
Okay.
So yeah, that's very good. So tell me what other networking events you've been impressed with. Didn't you go to one in Crowborough? Did you go to one at the Ivy?
Yes, that was the first. I spoke at it, actually.
Okay.
That was the first free breakfast at the Ivy. There's another one next week.
Oh, I think I'm booked into that. You reminded me.
Yes, that's Taylor May James talking. Dave Richardson.
Yes, I think I am.
Next Wednesday.
Okay.
No, so that's on Thursday. Probably Wednesday because I've got. Well, it is Wednesday because I've got to go to BNI first and then go to that. Yeah, so that's a guy called Daniel Crisp, who's the regional manager for. He lives in Brighton. He's the regional manager for the Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get the Ivy more involved in the community and have more events.
Okay.
So it's in connection with UBC. Based in Tunbridge Wells, and Fiona asked me to come talk at that one, so I talked to that one. There's one next Wednesday, Taylor Made Dreams, the charity.
Is that a Crowborough or is that in Tunbridge Wells?
That's in Tunbridge Wells, the Ivy in Tunbridge Wells.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I think they're going to try and get to different other Ivies as well. Because they had a stand at the Canterbury Business Show.
Ah, because there's one in Canterbury, isn't there?
Yeah.
Metro Bank is right opposite it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Greg was talking to... the Ivy. He said, "Oh, do you know him?" And I said, "Yes," because I met him at the Ivy. So I introduced Greg to Daniel. So yeah.
So, but presumably they wouldn't want to do evening ones because they're going to be busy with the restaurant.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I mean, there's an area in the there probably isn't most Ivies, but if you go into Tunbridge Wells, there's sort of an area set back on the left,
which is kind of nice area. Yeah.
So the networking that they do, the format is open like Metro Bank.
Yes, but it's around a table. So you have breakfast, the same. You have a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the first one, and Dave's going to be there next week to talk. But they are really keen to roll it out to different Ivies. Mm-hmm. And it's such a nice place, isn't it, to go?
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely. I've never eaten in the Ivy.
They're doing a special at the moment, 1966. Special for the World Cup. Wow. Two courses, I think, for £19.66.
God, that's really good, isn't good. Isn't it?
Right.
I don't know why I'm plugging the Ivy, but hey...
Well, I mean, if they're potentially a venue for Synergy, that might be quite a good idea. But I would think it would have to be a morning event with them.
Yeah.
So is he just looking at doing his own events, or would he be open to other networking events?
Then? Possibly be open, But it's not a huge room in Tunbridge Wells, so you wouldn't get more than about 15, 20, I don't think, in there.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, okay. Where else are they? I can't think where else they are.
Ilford, London... They're all over the country. They did tell me how many there were. It's about 120 Ivies.
Wow.
I know. Ivy Asia's as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of them. They're going to Dubai, I think, now as well.
Wow.
There's one for you.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, I've got a member who goes out to Dubai quite a lot. And she said to me, are you looking at going worldwide? I said, well, eventually, yes. But at the moment, no, it's too soon. So we are planning to franchise Synergy. But at the moment, we've got to get the group leader role, I think, a lot slicker.
Okay.
And once we've got the group leader role in place, mm-hmm. then we'll be able to start going down the franchise route. Because we were thinking we'd go down the franchise route straight away. But it's funny you were saying about different people, how you run your business.
Mm.
And I love it. So I'm happy doing 12 events a month, but even I was finding it a bit of a push, because the thing is, it's not just doing the events, it's getting the people to the events, and it's all the other stuff that goes around that.
The admin is huge.
Yeah. Mm. So basically for me, and the follow-up,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's no good doing 12 events and not following up. And that's basically where I was finding myself. I was finding that I was so busy. After the Wadhurst Castle, I went on holiday. And to be honest, it took me 2 days to just come down.
Yeah.
Because I had 2 days where it was just absolutely manic. And then I had to come back from holiday, and then I had to follow up on everybody. The lights keep going out in the studio, which is quite funny. We're all sitting here waving our arms around, if you can picture that. To get the lights. We must be sitting so beautifully still.
We are, scintillating.
So what about your what events do you like? Well, why do you like Synergy, Nicola? Because it's not like we've had massive numbers at Synergy that you've attended.
No, there's two things. It's the people, just really nice people. And I like being out. It's a nice venue, but they're always nice people there. And the format works so well because you get to talk to everybody really on a one-to-one basis.
Yes.
And rather than you just presenting to a room, you actually get conversation, and I think that's just so valuable because it leads off all sorts of places. And you find out more about people in that environment as well. You have more personal conversations than just business. So the format works, the people are lovely, it's a nice venue.
Yeah, it is a nice venue.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, great. What do you like about Synergy?
Yeah, similar, I think. And I enjoy the speed networking bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's
It's been that way.
Yeah, so the talking bit, and I think a lot of more discussions come from that as well.
Yeah,
when you sat there and you get a bit more in depth sometimes with the people that are there. So yeah, that's a good format.
I think the thing is that it's structure, but it's relaxed.
Yeah. Exactly, and you're not forced to like report on your referrals or report on your activity. It's just, I think anyone who does networking, it's not an obligation, but it's a mindset. You want to help other people, and so it happens organically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think making people stand up and say what they've done is a bit exposing and puts people under pressure and puts them off.
Mm.
So this is just a really nice way of getting around that, I think. And you want to do it because you want to help people.
Yeah, and the thing that BNI does instill in people is that it's not about who's in the room, it's about the people they know.
Exactly,
yes. Yeah.
Which I think is really, really important thing about networking.
Yeah.
And I think Metro Bank is a perfect example of that. I mean, me meeting the university,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, you meeting the person you met there.
Yeah.
Although he was actually there. But I think there's a lot of through the room stuff that goes
for
on
sure.
as well.
Yeah.
When you, especially when you go in there on a regular basis.
Mm.
So I've got to figure out which ones I'm going to come to, because when you do Maidstone Metro Bank, I'm actually running Canterbury.
Okay.
That ain't going to work.
This month has changed. Yeah.
It's on
Tuesday.
We had
to change the date because of normally the second Tuesday, but this month is the third Tuesday.
Which is the 21st.
Yeah, because the no hips on holidays.
So yeah, so that's
Maidstone Day.
That's Maidstone.
Right.
So it's Chris, isn't it, you deal with?
Yeah, him? Chris, yeah. Sorry, Chris. Yeah. 21st July, yeah.
And the Metro Bank in Tunbridge Wells is?
It's the 30th. It's the last Thursday of the month.
Right, okay. So, I could probably come to that one. I just can't come to the other one. And I do like to try and get to all of them if I can. But I'll definitely come along to the Orpington one when that one's on, for sure.
Mm.
I think that would be really good. So any tips for people from a copywriting perspective, please, Nicola?
If you are going to write it yourself, write it, have a break, sleep on it, take a step back and reread it the next day, get someone else to read it, use word aloud, read aloud to hear any mistakes. Don't just hit send or don't just hit publish.
Mm.
Sleep on it first.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. What about HR? Because
so many different strands.
I know that.
I think the people side, we've all been at different levels in an organisation. So just think, you know, if you're more of a leader, more of a manager now, think back to what it was like when you first started. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have been lost when you joined a company. Did you know what you were doing? Did you have the help and support you might not have had then? But it's so important in these times when everybody's got a lot going on in their life, you know, mental health awareness and everything. So important for people to feel supported, I think. And, you know, we've all got busy lives. We've all got time is the one thing that people don't have on their side, I think, now. But I think when you make time for people, you will get the reward back, because if people can see you're investing in them, investing, I'm not talking about money, I am talking about time, training, development, whatever it is, they will then pay you back later in life. That's what I found in working for a company for 18 years. If you invest in the right people, make sure they're supported, best thing to do.
So, I mean, if you're looking at the size of company that's got this right, is there a size of company that has got it right? Or would you say the bigger companies? I mean, with Ryan Briggs, he goes to King's Hill and he talks to, he's now working with Coca-Cola, he works with Hayes, about financial awareness for the staff. And he's collaborating with loads of different businesses to provide that financial awareness, because, you know, if your finances are screwed, you're stressed, and if you're stressed, you don't work properly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole knock-on effect, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot my question.
I think it's the same with HR, though, because people, culture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it could be any size of, it could be just you and another person. You could have two people in the company. If they're not feeling supported, if they're not feeling they haven't got a plan of what they're doing, when they come into work, they're just lost, you know, like adrift or whatever, then they're not going to stay there.
Mm.
You know, you might have 40, 50 people in the company, the same. You know, if the culture's not right, why should they stay? You know, why just move on and go somewhere else where they do feel supported, where they want to know what they're doing every day.
And what's your tip to, like, a company with that many people, 20 to 50 people, to get the culture right? Are there certain steps they can take?
It can be just ripping the paper up and starting from scratch, because that's what we had to do when I was at my manufacturing company. Because it was so autonomous, people were dictated to, we just had to start from scratch. Get people into a room, have company meetings, you know, have a meeting. Could be just a... We had every other Friday croissants with the MD. You know, just talk about things that you want to talk about with not everybody else in the room. Just, he sat in the canteen. Go and have a chat with him. You know, for half an hour, he sat there. You have the big meetings. People don't like to put their hands up. People don't like to ask questions in front of other people because they don't want to feel stupid.
Mm.
So you need to have the right mechanisms in every organisation for that feedback.
And depending on the people in the organisation as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How they react to each other. And also objectivity, having someone from the outside who has an overview. Well, obviously this is where you're going wrong, but you can't see that yourself. So having that external stimulus can be really beneficial.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. So do you, obviously you outsource quite a lot. Do you outsource for your business or do you outsource for other businesses?
Sorry, do I outsource for
Do you need to outsource for yours, or do you...
Well, we've got 80 online experts within Get Ahead, which are freelance.
Oh, I see, okay.
So we've got somebody who's doing our website, somebody who's doing our LinkedIn, somebody who's doing social media. So one of the benefits of... it's a franchise. One of the benefits of buying into that is I've got that backup. I could have gone off on my own, set my own HR consultancy. However, I think at the time I wanted to still feel part of a group of a team.
Mm.
So for me, that was the best option, buying into the franchise. I can still do my HR, which I love, the people side of things, but I've got this backup, I've got this team of people, you know, and we're all meeting up, we look out for each other and we help each other.
Mm.
So with Get Ahead, yes, we've got those people that are doing that for us. Yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it? Do you outsource at all? Do you outsource your bookkeeping or anything like that? Or are you fully doing everything yourself?
I'm kind of wearing all the hats. I have in the past outsourced bookkeeping. Also in COVID, I got really busy in COVID and had to get some external help. So I sort of built up a bank of other freelance copywriters who I could lean on. And I said, you know, too much of a control freak, so I had to just take it all back. but it's certainly a possible thing. And I think with a small business, it comes down to time, it comes down to money.
Mm.
It's sort of, you know, where does the money go in a small business?
Yeah.
And also, sometimes I think you have that perception if you're outsourcing, you spend so much time explaining somebody, you might as well do it yourself, which is a false economy. It's never true.
it's getting the right person.
It's getting the right person.
And the relationship.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier with the clients, you know, they might not find the right, you know, virtual expert to begin with, but then we will find the right person.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So
I've just been told off by Linda for tapping on the table.
I think it's Morse code. Help, help, help.
I just wonder what the listeners are thinking.
They've just worked it out. Just sending reinforcements in there.
Oh dear. Sometimes when you're on radio, you don't realise, because if you're doing that when you're trying to make a point,
anyway, you're waving your hands around.
We're all waving. The lights still keep going off. That's ridiculous.
I mean, we outsource quite a lot of people. I think that's because we want to show support to our members.
Mm.
But when you were outsourcing to other copywriters, did you find it easier to change what they'd written into your style than if you'd used AI?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's sort of something like why I like proofreading. It's easier to spot someone else's mistakes or change someone else's work, for sure.
Mm.
I think I should have been a teacher, I'll be honest. Missed my vocation. Like marking someone's work is great. That control again, isn't it? There's something wrong with me.
Well, funny enough, Hayley Hickman Morris, who's in Dartford, was a teacher.
Oh, was she?
And she's come to be a copywriter.
Yeah.
So you can see, I suppose, where it's come from.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Wow, how
checking.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So have you done a one-to-one with her yet?
No, I need to.
Yes, yeah.
Really do.
I think collaboration is, we were talking about this earlier in the car coming here, about collaboration, because there's obviously other HR people, and we're all different, though.
Mm.
We're all coming in from a different point of view, you know. It could be just single people like me. There could be companies, HR companies, who are consultants. But we've all coming at you. We've all got our own strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
So just talk to other people in your area. Find out what they want to do, what they're good at, what they think they're good at, or what they perceive to be good at, and work with them.
Yeah. And again, it's the right fit, isn't it? We don't all work with the right people. So it's just finding the right person for that job.
Funnily enough, there's more HR people in Synergy than there are copywriters.
Yeah, we've got
two copywriters. And, you know, we've probably got an HR person not in all the groups. You haven't got Canterbury or none of the Whitstable ones. So down in East Kent, they seem to be far and few between. Mm. But I think where you are, West Kent and Mid Kent, there seems to be quite a lot of HR people. But you're right, you're all coming from a different angle.
Yes. Mm. And we've all got different backgrounds.
Yes, yeah,
specialties
of course.
And stuff.
Specialties, yeah.
And the manufacturing, we've got a web designer, Ryan Grist, and he's going over to graphics and things like that, but his background is all manufacturing. He deals with a lot of manufacturing businesses.
Mm.
And it's that, you know, when you're used to working with someone like that, you just get to know them better, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So rather than having lots of hats. Okay, so we're coming to the end of the show now. So thank you so much, Nicola.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you. Writer Studio and Hazel. It's been really great to speak to you. So if anyone's got any questions, then please reach out to Hazel Hall or to Nicola Withers with any questions about HR, about copywriting. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for any training, I think that's, you know, it's key.
Definitely, definitely.
As businesses are growing and as life is changing, isn't it, really? It's, like you said, mental health awareness and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So,
and employment laws always changing, always. So you've got to keep one step ahead. Yeah,
absolutely. So thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Yeah, loved it. Thank you.
And,
really enjoyed it.
It'll be Jill back next week and I will be back in a couple of weeks. So thanks very much, everyone. Take care now.
At Absolute Protection Group, we specialise in domestic, commercial and industrial electrical, fire and security systems, ensuring the highest quality of service and safety for all your needs. We provide everything from design installations to repairs for homes and businesses alike. We have a 24-hour call-out service to get you up and running as soon as possible. Whether you need a simple lighting upgrade, a complete rewire, or emergency electrical services, every project meets industry standards. Let us be your trusted partner in creating safe and reliable electrical systems tailored to your specific requirements. Contact us today for a consultation. As if you want protection, you want absolute protection. Go to absolute-group.co.uk or call 01622 437838. Thank you for listening to the Business Network Show featuring Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy and Linda Cloak, founder of Synergy Networking Events.